Hey everyone, today we're going to talk about the four male archetypes, and these are basically a great way to help you embody healthy masculinity. They offer a really clear guide for what that means and what we can do in our lives to bring that forward. Welcome to the Deep Psychology Podcast. I'm your host, Ross Edwards, author, coach, and podcaster. We cover deep insights into your psychology, helping you grow in psyche and spirit. Make sure to subscribe to Deep Psychology on Spotify or Apple to stay up to date. You can also visit the website deep-psychology.com, visited by tens of thousands of people every month, for lots of free resources. If you want to go deeper with this work, you might like to do coaching with me. Head to the website for more details. It's time for today's episode. So you might be thinking, I'm female, Ross. How does this apply to me? Because I know that my audience is a mixture of men and women, people who identify as men and women. And what I'd say is that masculinity is something that we can all embody. Of course, biological men tend to embody it more than biological women. But more and more with time, as our appreciation of gender becomes more complicated, we're understanding that masculine and feminine traits are available to both, and that being a woman that is 100% feminine and has little masculine is perhaps not that functional, and we actually need to learn to embody both in certain areas of our lives to live a full life. So that's what I'd say about that, and I feel like healthy masculinity and healthy femininity inform one another. So it's not a, you know, this isn't just for men necessarily. It's also for women. And also if you're just interested in psychology, it's really helpful. So these four male archetypes, let's just talk a little bit about the background to them. So these were developed by Robert Moore and Douglas Gillette, who were psychologists. Robert Moore was a Jungian psychologist, and Gillette was a follower, a fan of his work. And basically, these archetypes are deeply influenced by Jung's theory of archetypes in the collective unconscious, which we can think of simply as deep universal blueprints of human behavior that we tend to embody in certain situations. I'm not a huge fan of Jung's theory of archetypes, I have to say. I don't understand it. Maybe I need to study it more. I don't see why it's necessary to call them archetypes, but that's another story. That doesn't mean that I don't appreciate the power of this work that I'm talking about here. So men embody both masculine and feminine archetypes, as I've said. But Moore and Gillette, what they did here was they basically distilled down all the important male archetypes that Jung proposed into four fundamental male archetypes. So we can think of these as sort of the archetypes or behavioral blueprints that compose healthy masculinity. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? Each archetype isn't just a positive expression or a positive trait necessarily. It actually has a healthy thought form and an unhealthy form. A healthy form is what it looks like in a sort of healthy dose. And the unhealthy form is basically when it goes too far and when it sort of becomes malignant, what it looks like. And basically the healthy forms of these archetypes together show us what healthy masculinity looks like, and the shadow forms show us what unhealthy masculinity looks like. So, you know, you might be wondering, well, why are we talking about archetypes? That sounds a bit sort of abstract and a bit impractical and a bit kind of, you know, let's get to the point here. Well, I think these are really important for several reasons, and one of them is that modern men often feel restless, purposeless, or like they aren't men yet, even into their 30s and 40s. And I think the reason is that the concept of masculinity has undergone a lot of change in the last few decades in the West. And we've sort of seen the unhealthy sides of traditional masculinity, but I don't think what we've not done, I think, is define a healthy masculinity, and that hasn't become sort of a normal thing like traditional masculinity was. You know, traditional masculinity emphasizes things, often subtly emphasizes things like aggression and dominance. And we've realized that that's very unhealthy for, you know, society, for wives, for children, and so on. And in postmodern society, what we've done is tended to suppress masculine expression in favor of the feminine. And in fact, we've tended to suppress sort of differences between the sexes because we don't like talking about differences. We don't like this idea that the biological sexes have any differences between them. So what this does is it takes those two insights, you know, the traditional point of view and the modern postmodern point of view, and it says, it goes up another level and it says, right, what is a healthy masculinity? You know, what is a mature masculinity that doesn't fall into the downsides of either, but it kind of recognizes the positives of both, right? So I think these archetypes are just a great guide, a great framework for that. And one way we can see these archetypes are basically a series of switches that we need to, you know, turn on in order to be fully masculine as male adults, right? So that's really what we're doing. We're trying to define what is healthy masculinity without falling into the downsides that can come with excessive masculinity. So what are the four archetypes? They're pretty simple. They're the lover, the warrior, the magician, and the king. Lover, warrior, magician, and king, right? So we're going to look at each of them, and then we're going to sort of zoom out a little bit and ask, you know, what are they saying together, right? So the lover, this is the first adult archetype that awakens. If you're listening to this, I imagine you're at an age where you're either experiencing this quite strongly, or you have sort of integrated it and you've sort of passed through its most extreme expression or most, its fullest expression. So basically, the lover tends to come online when we leave home and we sort of gain independence and we start exploring things for ourselves. It embodies passion, sensitivity, emotional depth, and connection to life's beauty. It's this part of us that gets inspired by art, by music, by sex, by love, by nature, by relationships, by women, and so on. And it has these healthy traits of, you know, it stimulates our creativity, our openness, our vitality, our passion for life, which, you know, it makes sense because when we gain freedom and we go off on our own, you know, there is this great expansion that occurs. We feel like sort of the limits of being at home under our parents' thumb, these limits sort of drop away and we're left with this openness, right? And so the lover comes online when it should come online. It's sort of a developmentally appropriate move. And we fall in love with life and we start to discover what we like and what, you know, what gets us excited by life. So that's the healthy side of it. And interestingly, what I find in a lot of male adults that are like double my age, I'm 30 years old, right? So I'm a young adult still. You know, when I look at a lot of men double my age, to be honest, I just see them to be very uninspired by life. And often it's when they retire. I mean, sometimes when you retire, it can just kind of get worse. You know, you just get even more fed up. Right, but often when you retire and when you sort of start having grandchildren, that lover archetype comes online, because it's sort of the innocence of the child and the child's obsession with everything and its exploration and so on. It sort of reactivates the lover, I think. But in men, like double my age, I see like just, I don't know, their lover is like very, atrophied is the word I would use. And they just, you know, they life seems to be stale for them. And they tend to become sort of very rigid and very, you know, they have their idea of what they like and what they don't like, and they do not want to open up. And this, to me, is an atrophy of the lover. The lover is atrophied in them. And so what Gillette and Moore are basically saying is, listen, the lover is actually a fundamental part of healthy masculinity. And it also means we don't have to be overly serious as men. You know, as men, you know, we think of traditionally, men are seen as the breadwinners, as those who impose discipline and order in the family, as those who sort of set the direction in the family and so on. And this can lead to sort of an over-seriousness, a masculine seriousness that I don't think is particularly healthy, because I think it also represses the lover archetype. So these psychologists are basically giving us permission. They're saying, listen, the lover archetype is fundamental to your functioning as a man. And if you feel that life is stale and you feel that, you know, you're just bored, or you've had the same hobbies for 20 years and you feel like you're just stuck in a rut, well, the lover archetype, get out there and explore and get inspired by life. That's what it's basically asking us to do. So we've had the lover, now we've got the warrior. And this is, I think what this does is it shows us traditional masculinity and how we can bring back that manliness without it being, without it becoming unpleasant and dysfunctional. So this is the archetype of action, courage, and discipline. This is basically the sort of the part of us that focuses its aggression to a noble cause that goes beyond personal interest. It's a willingness to sacrifice comfort or safety for the sake of a mission. And in its healthy expression, it gives us things like resilience, persistence, and the ability to protect other people. So again, this is something that traditionally in men was very emphasized because of things like war and things like the fact that men were breadwinners. You know, men had to be more aggressive and, you know, risk things to, you know, like if you, let's say a century ago, you had a business, right? Before, or two, you know, a century, two centuries ago, you know, when we didn't have as much social security, things weren't so secure, the economy didn't flourish as much as it does nowadays. You know, if you say had a business, the warrior archetype would have to be pretty active in you, because if that business stopped generating money, that could mean that your family, you know, entered into poverty and you might have to go to the poorhouse and you might have to beg for food and all the rest of it. So whereas nowadays, you know, obviously if you have a business and it goes down the toilet, that could be a big problem, but it's not going to be as big a problem because of our social safety nets and so on. And what's tended to happen, I think, in postmodern culture is we just see aggression and sort of passion and resilience and persistence as kind of overly masculine and sort of overly serious and overly kind of domineering in a certain way. We only see the potential downsides of it. But if, you know, if you're successful in your career or in a business or in any pursuit, any project that you undertake, you're going to realize that the warrior is very important. And even in things like sex, the warrior is very important to generate that masculinity that women find attractive. Obviously, there is a shadow trait to the warrior. The shadow side, it can become sadistic, you know, when there's too much of it, it can just become cruel and violent. When aggression is just directed without a moral background to it, without a moral framework, without discrimination, please, it can become sadistic. Sorry, I just a little Spanish expression just came in there. I do apologize. I'll speak in English from now on. Or it can become, you know, we just do not have enough of it, and so it can become kind of, we can become passive, we can become self-destructive, we can become passive-aggressive, we can become depressive. You know, instead of directing our aggression outwards, we direct it inwards, right? So the warrior, and I notice in a lot of postmodern men, this is really lacking. You know, they lack that strong warrior energy that directs their intensity and their aggression outwards towards a cause. I think that a lot of postmodern men, you know, growing their hair long and playing instruments and smoking weed and, you know, this kind of thing, it just makes us very weak and very kind of passive and almost like doormats. In fact, in the article that accompanies this episode on my website, I called myself, so I'm not just pointing the finger, I call myself an acquiescent doormat. And partly it was because when I lacked the warrior archetype, I just couldn't set boundaries with people, and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't set an agenda of my own, right? Moving on to the magician. So this is the archetype of knowledge, mastery, and transformation. It gains wisdom through lifelong learning, practice, and experimentation. It becomes an innovator, a problem solver, and a wielder of secret knowledge. So this is the kind of thing that we wield when we are successful in our career, when we have like a niche that we've found, when we learn to play an instrument, when we learn a language, when we learn to become good interpersonally, when we take projects and we develop them and they're successful, we're going to need the magician to some degree. So its healthy traits are the wisdom it gives us, its creativity, and the mastery of the tools and skills that we need. And, you know, when I think of the magician, I think of like sort of the Dumbledore archetype, the Gandalf archetype. It's not the exact same thing. And you don't have to necessarily be like an old man with a beard and, you know, that kind of wisdom. It's more mastery of a craft, but there is something about those archetypes that resonates with the magician. And basically look for the magician archetype whenever you're doing something really well. And the message here is, yes, we want that. We want more of that. That is healthy masculinity. There is a shadow side to the magician, which we can see in ourselves and in sort of the culture, this in our society. And one is the manipulator. You know, it's sort of an overexpression of the magician, where it goes into deception and a misuse of knowledge, where our knowledge and mastery isn't directed towards a noble cause. Or it can be underdeveloped. You know, it can be, so it can be a sort of innocent expression of it, which is like a refusal of responsibility, a refusal to sit and develop skills, a sort of detachment, an unwillingness to use your knowledge for the betterment of all. And so that is the message here. We want to use our knowledge and skills for the betterment of all. And to the extent that we're doing that as men is to the extent that we are developing the magician in us and expressing it. So I said there was the lover, and then there was the warrior, and then there's the magician. So finally, the final archetype that tends to come on when you're a man is the king. And you can think of this as like the central archetype. This is kind of where everything else is leading towards. This is like the crown of mature manhood. And this archetype governs and balances the other three. So what the healthy king gives us is order, vision, stability, generosity, confidence, and centeredness. It's the ability to be in charge and to set direction and to guide these other forces that are within us and within our group. All men have a kingdom of some kind, whether it's a family, a business, or a community. In my case, it's my business, it's my the house I live in, it's my relationship. I don't have a family yet, but those are my sort of spheres of influence, the community I have, the meditation community I have, both virtually and in person. These are like my realms of influence, right? And so what this archetype is asking us to do, or what it has us do, and what Gillette and Moore are really asking that we do, is to embody this in a healthy way, to be the masters of our realm, of our spheres of influence, embodying the other three archetypes and sort of setting the direction and being the director, being the king. You know, in ancient times, the king really made it. The king was like the head of the kingdom. Not so much anymore, where especially in Western democracies that still have kings and queens, they don't have as much control. A lot of them are more sort of symbolic roles. But ancient kings used to basically set, you know, they were the head. They set the tone for everything. So that's what this archetype has us do and what we're being asked to do. Now, obviously, the king's shadow side can be a tyrant. You know, it just gets addicted to domination and control. And, you know, just starts wiping people out, and it starts sort of using the realm for his own benefit, and just sort of destroying the sphere of influence and taking advantage of people, of subjects. Or it can be the weakling, where we abdicate responsibility. And there's, you know, there's sort of typical kings in history that have been weaklings who haven't stepped into their role. And so we're being warned against being a tyrant or being a weakling. So look out for the king in your own spheres of influence, as I would call them, and you know, are you being the man? Are you being the masculine figure there? Are you sort of being the male role model in each of these situations? And to the extent that you are embodying the king. So that's it: the lover, the warrior, the magician, and the king. We can think of these as passion, as mastery, as power, and as leadership. That's one way we can look at these traits. And isn't that just a beautiful combination, especially when we do it for the benefit of others and we don't fall into the shadow sides of these archetypes? So I just want to finish here, you know, with a bit of a personal reflection on this. You're obviously going to go away and think about this yourself and look at your own life and how to do it. But my personal reflection here is that in modern times, as men, we really lack strong masculine role models. You know, when you were growing up as a kid, say 100 years ago, 200 years ago, you would look up to the president as like a strong role model, or the prime minister in my case, or you'd look up to, you know, the king of the country as healthy role models. You know, what we're looking up to nowadays is really often it's sports people, which is fair enough. They embody a lot of masculinity that is good, but that is mixed with the fact that we live in a very feminine society and a very feminist society where masculinity is being really repressed, I think. And what happens when you engage, you know, when we go to school or when we go and we play sport when we're young, or even in our spiritual communities, that the feminine is really emphasized, and all that's spoken about is, when it comes to masculinity, are the negative sides of masculinity. And I don't think that people realize the damage that it's done. And I think that dads are very feminine now. Obviously, this is a good thing, because dads in the past were probably too masculine, sort of the tyrant archetype, you know, hitting children, shouting at them, traumatizing them, you know, addicted to various things, you know, alcohol, womanizers, and all the rest of it. So that's, we don't want that, but you know, what is healthy masculinity? I don't think we really know what it is. And so this really shows us what it can be, whatever, however you choose to apply it, as a lover, I mean, as a, like a partner, as a parent, as a colleague, and so on. So, and what I think is, for me, these archetypes show us what embodied and balanced masculinity looks like. We're going to be strong, but we're going to be compassionate. We're going to be purposeful and directed, but we're also going to be grounded. And though what I'm seeing is that masculinity at the moment is in a huge period of change and upheaval, I think these archetypes show us a sort of a timeless roadmap for being healthy men, which I think I certainly need and I have needed, and I've only come to appreciate in recent years the importance of it. And I think we all need it. We need a cultural roadmap to what healthy masculinity is. And so I think this is it. So I want you to sort of take this away, chew on it, and assimilate it, and start living out these archetypes. Where do you see the lover? Sort of your passion for life, your creativity. Where do you see the warrior? Your power, sort of never say die persistence towards a cause. Your magician, you know, where are you mastering things in your life, and how are you developing secret knowledge that you only develop through long immersion in a field? And how are you a king? How are you directing others? How are you leading others? How are you being a positive influence in the spheres that you are involved in? So I've laid down the gauntlet to you, and I'm continually laying down the gauntlet to myself. So let's go away and embody these archetypes as best we can, as men and as women. And just a final word, that I work with seekers of spiritual and mental growth to help them gain insight into themselves and master powerful tools for self-transformation. So if you're interested in working with me one-to-one, please head to the website and book a free consultation call with me. It's no strings attached, 30-minute chat on what I can offer you and what you would like to work on. And if we think we are a good fit, we can discuss organizing sessions. I'd be really excited to work with you. And I just love working one-to-one with people. It's my favorite mode of working, and it's where I think I have the most impact on people. So get in touch, head to the website, and I really look forward to connecting with you. All right, I'm done. I'll be back on Sunday to continue the series on the levels of spirituality, so make sure to come back on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. UK, 8 p.m. Central European time. And until then, take care, and I'll see you very soon. Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, please leave a review and make sure to subscribe on Apple or Spotify. If you'd like to go deeper with this work, head to deep-psychology.com to do coaching with me. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you soon.